You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and you can find our podcast on iTunes. Think about the last time you were in a hospital as a patient. Chances are you interacted with nurses much more than you did with physicians. Nurses are intimately involved with patient care. They walk the halls, and they often spot big problems, for example, unnecessary alarms, years before anybody starts addressing them. We asked Pulse listeners who are also physicians to talk about their interactions with nurses, and here's what we heard back.
I can't even begin to stress how much I've learned from my nursing colleagues during the first few years of my training. Everything from how to place an IV to how I should present bad news to a family.
That was physician Josh Glick, and here's Russell Kaufman. As a med student, he was told by other physicians, when delivering babies, only use the stethoscope in one ear.
So that we could both hear the heartbeat of the baby, as well as hear the instructions of the nurse.
Listen to the nurses. They know what's up, was basically the gist of many of the comments we received. Now, if we move from the patient rooms to the leadership suites, hospitals are facing different pressures these days. Some key goals are quality of care, cutting down readmission rates, and reducing hospital-borne infections. So does this change who should run the show? With the vast majority of hospitals, business or marketing types hold down the corner office. A very small fraction is run by physicians, but what about nurses? Does their ground-level experience with patient care make them good candidates for leadership? Tanya English set out to get answers.
Hey, Jen, how's it going?
Kelly Doyle is 5 foot nothing, but you can't miss her. Her laugh and her signature shoes echo down the halls. Doyle is CEO of Rothman Orthopedic Specialty Hospital. She's led the small for-profit in the Philadelphia suburbs since 2011. Once a week, she's in by 6 in the morning as the first surgeries of the day begin.
I've been known to wear heels in the operating room.
Doyle changes into comfortable blue scrubs to say hi to her surgeons, but she never kicks off the 4-inch suede pumps. As Doyle walks around the surgery suites, she's thinking about volume.
Mike, I didn't do a count today. How many cases do we have? At least how many?
20.
At least 20, okay. So we're doing spine and obviously shoulder,
spine,
Dr. Lazar.
Shoulder and elbow and foot and ankle later.
Foot and ankle.
Once inside an operating room.
Right, so Dr. Lazarus is scrubbing his hands. Looks like he's getting ready to come in.
She's watching for habits that prevent medical errors.
One of the things that, as a nurse and a CEO, that I look to see that's hardwired is called the timeout process. And that's the last check before the incision.
Part of an executive's job is to make sure the hospital makes money. And that only happens, Doyle says, if people are getting quality care. Sports medicine surgeon Christopher Allen says he and other physicians trust an administrator just a little bit more if that person has experience working directly with patients.
The MBAs don't get it. You know, they've gone to school, they're brilliant, smart people, but they haven't been in the pits.
As CEO, Doyle gets two big report cards each month: patient satisfaction scores and the number of cases that come through the door. In her sales pitch, she talks about the free parking at Rothman and the guaranteed private rooms.
My job is to care about everything.
That includes meeting with her management team to figure out why the lights went out during the last big snowstorm.
Is it an easy fix to get them lighting on backup generator? I think we should do that. How much would it cost to run a store? Is it like something exorbitant?
We can probably do it.
They don't teach marketing and facilities management in nursing school. Christine Kovner should know. She's a professor at New York University's College of Nursing.
The CEO is doing things like figuring out, are we going to float a bond or not float a bond, or figuring out how do we recruit, you know, physicians from Mount Sinai so that we can be the center of dermatology rather than them being the center of dermatology.
Nursing students are so focused on clinical skills, Kovner says there's not much time for classes in leadership.
So the skills that you need to run a small business, it's a multi-million-dollar business that has 50 employees, are not the same skills that you need to be able to react quickly in an emergency situation when someone suddenly starts bleeding.
There are nursing leadership programs around the country for mid-level managers, but registered nurses who go on to lead entire healthcare organizations often first return to school for a business or administration degree.
My name is Richard Webster, and I am the president of Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
He oversees thousands of workers and about 900 patient beds across three hospitals in Philadelphia. It's been a long time since Webster got his hands dirty, but he started his career as a staff nurse at the bedside.
You can't study that. You can't read that.
When Webster was first promoted into a job away from direct patient care, suddenly he was working with colleagues in marketing and finance to grow business inside the hospital.
To capture more market share, to focus on the patient experience.
When a doctor asks for a cool new piece of equipment, Webster weighs how much that toy might improve healthcare and how much it will cost.
And so you have the final say as president of the hospital about when that check gets written and when it doesn't get written.
For the most part, yes.
When you look up Richard Webster's bio, RN for registered nurse is the first of many letters listed after his name.
There are others that we have heard say, well, I don't want to put RN after my name because some people might not think that I know as much about business or that that might be a detractor when I'm competing with others in the C-suite, especially men in the C-suite.
Pam Cipriano, who's president of the American Nurses Association, says that's disappointing. It also makes it hard to count up the number of nurses who are chief executive officers, chief operating officers, board chairs, and presidents. But anecdotally, Cipriano says she's noticing more nurses at the top.
We wish we had more data about how many nurses are moving into those executive positions.
It's pretty common for an RN to make the jump from staff nurse to manager, then eventually chief nursing officer. The next leap is more rare. At Rothman Orthopedics, I asked CEO Kelly Doyle why.
Sometimes when we say nurse CEO, we really are kind of saying women CEOs, but I'm not asking that. I'm asking, why do you think there aren't more nurses who are CEOs?
Women have to take a time out and raise their families.
Doyle says you can't overlook the fact that the vast majority of nurses are women.
If I had babies in my 30s, would I be sitting here? I don't know.
Then there's this.
Nurses aren't trained in finances. Nurses are trained in patients, patient care, and patient safety.
A lot of what Doyle needs to know, she learned on the job. Soon after her promotion, she booked a two-hour lunch with a mentor.
And I took the financials with me, and I just asked him a lot of questions, and I tape recorded it, and I listened to that recording over and over and over again.
Today, she has an answer when a board member has a question.
Why is supply cost up? What's going on with supplies? What's happening with salary, wage, benefits? There's so many different factors that affect the bottom line.
There's a national movement to get more registered nurses appointed to all kinds of advisory boards. The goal is 10,000 RNs by 2020. Supporters say that change could make a significant difference to hospital leadership all around the country. For The Pulse, I'm Tanya English.